Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Steve Jones Show on a Tuesday. News Radio 1070 WKOK. Matt Catrillo here with you. Steve will soon be there from the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, lots of pre-owned inventory. A great service department and a great sales staff. That service department is there to get it done for you for your current vehicle with the diagnostics, with the inspections, and the sales staff there for you, not just there for the sale. It's all part of the all-important Sunbury Motors Guarantee. And it's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Lots more to get to today. 100 days away till the start of Penn State football. How about that? You know, we're just beginning summer. I get it. Memorial Day weekend is this weekend, the unofficial start of summer. But that means, yeah, we're one step closer to football season. So 100 days to kickoff at Purdue. September 1st, Thursday night. Yeah, 100 days away till we get it going. And then the NFL will start shortly after that. And then before you know it, we're back in full swing with football season. So, boy, we definitely need to enjoy the summer first, of course. But with that today, we've got our man Brian Tripp back with us today. Talk Penn State baseball. They're in Omaha for another big series in the competitive Big Ten. We'll maybe getting a little bit of Penn State football with the sideline reporter himself, so he'll join us today. And, of course, as he does every Tuesday, Neil Coulong is going to join us as well for the latest on the NFL. And quickly on that, it's no surprise. For me, it's sad because I'm in the low minority. I get it. I don't care what any of you say. I still like the Pro Bowl. But they're talking about the future of it once again, and looks like this is more serious talks now as to getting rid of the traditional tackle game and try to put something else in place that celebrates the players that are named to the Pro Bowl, whether it might be a flag football game or something like that. I would be okay with that. I just want something football related to watch that day. If it's not the real tackle game, okay, fine, but give me something related to the sport. I don't want to see like a show. I don't want to see like dodgeball as the main thing. That's fun to watch during the week leading up to the game, whatever, that's fine. It's to go along with the skills competition, but I don't want to see that as the main event. But I'm sure that's not on the top of the radar for many people out there. That's just me. But I throw my 2 cents out there because it is being talked about today, that the Pro Bowl may actually be no more as it is. But the other thing that we've talked about a lot last week, and I know it kind of sounds like we're beating a dead horse, but the more you hear about it, just the more flabbergasting it becomes with everything that's going on with NIL right now. Of course, you have Jimbo Fisher, who still won't stop talking and stop going off about Nick Saban, this back and forth that's been between the two of them lately over calling each other out, which has just been stupid beyond belief. And If you're Jimbo Fisher.
You call everybody stupid. I mean, come on.
I mean, but this is getting nuts now. And then not only have these two going back and forth, Jimbo Fisher sounding the dumber of the two, but now you got Arch Manning involved wanting $8 million. I mean, we got to put an end to this. We got to get, you're right, Steve, we got to get a gripe on this now. Because if somebody's approaching that amount of money going into college before they even make a play, are you kidding me? We got to get this under control.
I just, they point me toward the field I talk.
I mean, this, like I said, I know this is beating a dead horse now, but I mean, this is outrageous.
You're just consumed with hate. You don't want people to succeed.
There's that, and then there's overload. This is beyond that.
You're just bitter that the Yankees can't beat the Orioles anymore. That's what it comes down to.
Well, I will say this. You know, as bad a loss as last night was, if they lose tonight, then it becomes unacceptable.
You play 162 games. And now you're an unacceptable.
Well, I mean, they got to be taking... They have been taking care of business. They can't get lax about it. You've now lost 4 out of 5 to mediocre teams and then to a god-awful team in Baltimore. And Gerrit Cole wasn't great last night when he got some offense. Your bullpen, and he got stretched out because the bullpen needs your help now because they've been stretched out. So, yeah.
You seem bitter.
But I think they will right the ship tonight. I do.
I have no idea who's pitching tonight. Zero. None. So, and I'm trying to work up the point where I care. All right, so. And I speak for the audience on that. All right. We got Neil Coulong today. Let's see. We got Brian Tripp today from Omaha, no less, on the show. We got a lot going on today. So that is today's show, the way it lines up. And the Big Ten tournament starts tomorrow, maybe. It is pouring in Omaha, and it is supposed to be raining in Omaha tomorrow, too. Okay. The reason we're talking about the Yankees is it's hard to talk about the Stanley Cup playoffs in the NBA right now for this reason. The games aren't that good. Now, the NHL's been better. I mean, but Florida plays Tampa last night. They sweep. That's over. Colorado, St. Louis, not a lot of national interest. The Edmonton-Calgary thing is interesting. They're separated by 186 miles. It's a really good series, but it's on at 10 o'clock at night. So you're really, it's like, you know. I'm at the age, like, I'm going, okay, hang in there. Come on. Carolina and the Rangers will be interesting tonight. In the NBA, Golden State and Dallas has not been a good series, and the Celtics and Heat has not been a good series. That's the weirdest series going. Do you realize that they have played 16 quarters of basketball between the two, and the Celtics have won 14 of the 16 quarters? They got blown out in the third quarter of game one. They got blown out in the first quarter of game three. And those are the only two quarters the Heat have won. It's just the most bizarre series. And it's not competitive. Last night's game, terrible. Right? I mean, the games have not been good in that series. It's not helping the NBA at all that the games have not been good.
And guess what? The finals is heading down that way because whoever wins this slap fest is just going to get crushed by Golden State.
Absolutely not. That's where you're wrong. No. If the Celtics win, I think the Celtics have a really good shot at beating Golden State. Golden State's not playing that well. Have you watched the games? Golden State is not playing that well. Curry's been good. Thompson's been good. Poole's been good. Wiggins is up and down. To be honest with you, Golden State is not a dominant team. There's a reason why they're the three seed, right?
No, I know. Yeah.
I mean, they're okay. Okay? Golden State is okay. The Celtics are and the Heat are both better defensive teams. You're dead wrong on that. Golden State has, you look at the Denver series, for example, Denver doesn't have Murray. They don't have Murray. The only guy they've got is Jokic. Right? So Golden State gets to go home, game five, wrap it up. Nope, couldn't do it. Couldn't win the game. Like, okay, that was interesting. Didn't think that was going to happen. I mean, a lot of ways, no Morant. They lucked out against Memphis because Morant couldn't play. And that series might be different if Morant makes it's a very difficult layup. But a very difficult layup, if he makes that layup, they're down 2-0. So Golden State's been good. They have not been great. The game two, they fall behind in game two. Then they got enough to come back and win. I've watched some of it, and if you're not watching it, which evidently you're not, you're getting a completely different view of what the series, about actually how well they're playing. Golden State's playing good, not great. And the Celtics-Miami thing, again, it's the weirdest thing. The Celtics have won 14 of the 16 quarters. But the two they didn't, they got crushed. Third quarter game one, first quarter game three. Wow. And you got guys out. Marcus Smart didn't play last night. Now, he got fallen on. I mean, he turned his ankle pretty bad. Jimmy Butler's pulling himself out of games. Lowry, we don't know. Tyler Herro, I mean, and that's the other part. You don't know. These guys, sometimes they play, sometimes they don't. It's really the darndest thing. I don't know. Then there's the Yankees. You're all, Zach Wheeler pitched great last night, and you're talking about the Yankees. Zach Wheeler pitched great. Great.
Hey, he's pitched well down in Atlanta in his career.
Zach Wheeler almost always pitches well.
The bullpen does not.
I thought that was... Well, that's been the constant for the Phillies and many other teams. The bullpen on every team is a crapshoot. Simple as that. Every single time.
The Phillies haven't had a bullpen in like 10 years. I can't. It's since like Brad Lidge. We were talking about this. When was the last decent closer they've had? It doesn't matter how good Wheeler pitches. I'm sitting there watching it in the seventh inning, and I'm like, they might lose this game. Up seven or whatever they were up. Up five.
Well, the Yankees don't have a decent closer. They got a problem.
No. Yeah, they do now. Yep.
They do now. They've had a problem for years. Chapman has not been a good closer for years now. I mean, he really hasn't. I mean, I think the point where he started like sliding toward the cliff was when he held on for the Cubs in 2016. He can throw 101, but guess what? It's straight. Guess what major leaguers can hit? Straight pitches. You have to have movement. You got to have movement. And he's lost the movement on his pitches, and he's not creative enough with his other pitches. But Judge hit a long home run last night.
Two.
wow, if it wasn't for them, the loss would have been worse.
Yeah, exactly.
Boy, you're going to have to pay him a lot of money. There's going to be no money left for anybody else. Yeah. There's going to be no money left for anybody else. You know, then they're throwing at guys. I mean, Cole's throwing at the head of a guy last night. I mean, what are you doing?
F-O-U-L-E-D. That spells found.
Yeah. So, you know, it's... God, so what did Cole get? $1 million for that start last night?
Probably somewhere around there.
Yeah. Hmm. Wow. It's a lot of money to lose.
Chirinos drives one of the air to right. Judge is back. Judge at the wall. And it's gone. Urias with an opposite field home run. And Ramon Urias has torched Garrett Cole in this game. A double to kick off the four-run third. An opposite field home run in the sixth. And the Orioles are right back in front on Urias' third of the year.
He makes $35.7 million less per year than the guy he hit the home run off of. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
All right, I, for those who listen to the show all the time, and I don't understand why you're not, you know, I've loosely referenced in the past, I don't know, 6 weeks or so, because everybody kept bringing up how Christian Vayu and Bo Perpiola were both wearing 9. I said, look, Christian's going to be 11, but, you know, and Keandre Lambert-Smith's probably going to switch to 1. But there's a rule. And the rule is James Franklin ties it to academics. He wants to see your spring card and how you did academically before he allows you to switch. Well, Vayu is going to switch to 11, which we probably told you about 6 weeks ago, and Lambert Smith's going to go to 1. The one I didn't know about was this one, and this is really cool. Nick Dawkins, who was wearing 66, is going to change to 53. How cool is that? His dad's NBA number with the Sixers.
That's awesome.
Katron Allen will keep 13. Bo will stay at 9. Cam Miller will be 5. Alex Paquetta, 97. Tyler Johnson, 8. Christian Driver, 13. Drew Shelton will get Nick's old number, 66. And Hunter Norris at 64. Okay? But yeah, he's going to switch to 53, his dad's NBA number. Well, that's beyond neat.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Woke, condescending, know-it-all. Wow. I mean, the suit was back in the corner office when all this happened. Oh, just kidding. All right. Great to have everybody with us. Today's show is brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, the best in new inventory. There's nothing like getting a new vehicle that also has the warranty to go with it. What about pre-owned inventory? Great pre-owned inventory with the all-important Sunbury Motors guarantee and a terrific service department. Inspections, routine, and, of course, something difficult, diagnostics, whatever it may be, they'll take care of it. All at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. I felt like I was the only positive beacon of light in the opening half hour of the show. Between the two of you, he hates the bullpen. The Phillies haven't had a good bullpen for 10 years. You hate the Orioles. You hate the Heat. You hate the Celtics. He says, every time I turn around, there's just like some sort of hate. Hey, and you didn't even bring up the Indy 500. I think you did that out of fear.
Well, actually, it doesn't matter because the suit's off all week. So we can trash it as much as we want. Or not talk about it as much as we want.
Physically or mentally?
That's a good question.
Oh, my almighty!
I thought it was worth asking the question. All right. It is, after going through several really warm days here and beautiful weather, it's cloudy, a little chillier today. It was 61, but not like it is in Omaha. In Omaha, it is raining, and the Big Ten baseball tournament starts tomorrow. With that, we go out to Omaha, where they're at the ballpark right now doing their walkthrough and bring in Brian Tripp. Tripper, welcome. Great to have you with us.
Steve, great to be with you. Joining you live from Charles Schwab Field. Team just arrived here, taking a little tour, checking it out. It's a little dreary, though, today. Not the nicest day.
That's okay. It's a great ballpark, though.
Oh, it's beautiful. Beautiful ballpark. I mean, spectacular.
You know, I think it's great that they moved it there. I think, I know they move it around. But to put it there and with a College World Series kind of feel and atmosphere to it, I think it's really cool.
No, I agree with that. I think Indianapolis would be a good home, too, just so it's a little more centralized. Columbus was a good home when they were playing at the Clippers home there. But just coming in here and seeing the branding up on the walls, and it has a feel of a big event, and it feels like it's the Big Ten's event. And I think it's really special. It gives a unique feel to it. And then, as you said, obviously being at the home of the College World Series is a great baseball town. This will be fun for the players, and I'm glad they're having the opportunity to soak it in and experience the moment and the memories, because they've worked really hard to get here.
It's been a long road for Penn State to get back to this. What kind of we'll do this in two parts. Number one, yep. What kind of accomplishment is it for the program to get back on track and make this tournament?
Yeah, I think it's a big milestone to reach this point, and it's something they've worked really hard at. They've developed a really strong culture the last couple of years under Coop, and they've really done it this year by everyone pulling their own weight and understanding what their role may be as a team effort. This is a good conference with 13 baseball teams. To finish in the top eight is hard, and not only to do that, to finish sixth, you're in the top half of the league. It's hard to do when you have programs. Indiana's been on a roll. Purdue had some really good teams back around 2008, 2009, 10, 11, 12, Illinois, and then Maryland joining the Big Ten, and Eric Backich really did a nice job with them before going to Michigan, and that's a team that's been in the College World Series and the national championship game against Vanderbilt a couple of years ago. So this is a pretty good conference to get to the top half of the league. It's hard, and I think it's a really nice milestone for them. Now they get to experience this. And then once you're here and you taste it,
right? That's my next question.
Lead to the next step. Yep.
Yeah, that's my next question. Okay, this is a great accomplishment. So that feels great going out of the plane. Now when you get there, it's like looking around. You know what? All right, let's do something with it.
Yeah, and it's interesting too. The way they build the bracket is in two separate brackets. So the four teams, you only have to worry about three other teams until you would get to a championship game. So Penn State will play Iowa in the first game of the tournament, and then the second game of the tournament is Purdue, taking on Rutgers, and two teams that I think Penn State matches up really, really well against and has had success against both those teams already this year. So it's double elimination among your own bracket, and then if you get to Sunday, that's when you play the one-game championship. So it's a little bit interesting how they format it, and I think they're confident against all three teams that are in their little component there, their half of the eight-team overall bracket.
All right, so now let's get to Iowa. Iowa is an okay matchup in some ways, and no better than okay. But over nine innings, I mean, let's. How does Coop want to? You know, he is part of the buy-in has been that he's convinced every pitcher that, hey, look, just trust us, okay? I know you want to know if you're the Friday, Saturday, Sunday guy, but trust us, it's going to be moving parts, and they have. So in the moving parts, who goes first tomorrow?
Well, I think that's between Tyler Shingelbecker and Travis Lunsman, and that way you're deciding between a righty or a lefty what's a better matchup against the Iowa lineup. So I still think it's something to be determined, even at this point. I think they may be starting to lean one way, and then you start to look at some other analytics and stats, mm-hmm. and we'll go back the other way. Iowa uses a lot of different lineups. They just have guys in and out, but there are a couple of key cogs, and one's a huge left-handed hitting first baseman, Peyton Williams, and the other guy is Keaton Anthony, who's one of the best freshmen in the league, and I think he just won Big Ten Freshman of the Year, and he's hit five home runs in his last five games. So there's two big guys in that lineup you have to keep in the ballpark, and this is a pitcher's ballpark. It is a big yard, mm-hmm. especially depending on which way the wind is blowing. If you can keep them in the park and then keep the other guys off the bases, I think you can have success against that lineup. But you're right. It's total buy-in from everyone in that pitching staff. And in a tournament setting, sometimes that's a good thing because you need to find enough innings not only to win the first game, but the second game, third game, fourth game, fifth game if you could play five. And then you have guys that may be rested. You aren't throwing one person 110 total pitches and he's burnt out for the rest of the week.
Right.
And you can play the matchups that the opponent creates for you. So I think it's a good way to go about it, and I think it works in your favor when you get into a postseason setting like this.
The other part, too, is when you get to a postseason setting like this, and a lot of times it can be a one-and-done, all hands are on deck, but because you know you've got another game to play, all hands can't be on deck, so you got to be smart about how you do this.
Yeah, no doubt about that, and I think that's where the depth of the staff comes in. Mason Milot, Jordan Morales have thrown really well, and they've all been... Look, the last couple of weeks, they've done a really nice job. Jordan Morales started the game on Saturday against Illinois. He hadn't started all season. So you gave him a taste of that role in case he is someone that would have to start a game for you here. Kellen Tullio, Tommy Bolsky, they've started Big Ten games for Penn State this year. They've come in out of the bullpen in high leverage spots. So I think the depth of the pitching staff really can be something that helps you in that spot. And they've done a great job of finding different arms to use in different situations. Stephen Miller. He's been a starter and he's been a reliever. So you can say that about anyone. So nothing should be, albeit on a bigger stage, nothing should be unfamiliar for these guys, no matter what that role is that they're asked upon in this tournament setting.
All right. So it's going to be at 10 a.m., which means it's a 9 a.m. Central start tomorrow. No teams
better prepared for it than this team because they've played morning games the last 3 weekends.
Exactly. Because it's not that they're playing at 9. That's not it. You and I both know, Brian, but when you're around this all the time, there is a timetable, and the key is when do you eat? All right? Mm-hmm. And they want to make sure they eat. I'm going to guess they want a meeting 3 hours before the game with baseball as opposed to maybe 4 for football. But, and basketball can be about, Michael will have him go about 2:45 to 3:30 before a game. Yep. That means up at 5:30, eating at 6, and then going with them. I mean, so, how have they responded when they've been in this spot?
I think they've been really good. This seems like a group that's not really bothered by a whole lot. They kind of just go with the flow. And I'm interested to see how they do handle it tomorrow. The one thing I will say is weather may be an issue here the first 2 days. So the early starts may get pushed back. And I'll tell you, that's where it's really good to be the first game because you don't have to sit around and wait all day and watch the other teams and wonder when they're going to finish. Are they going to finish? Are they going to reach the cutoff? You're the first game, so whenever it's time to play, you get to play. So if the weather's an issue, that, I think, works in their favor being the first game, too.
Matt Wood obviously gets first team All-Big Ten. Should have been. I think he should have been the player of the year. But in watching him, and you and I were up there, was it Friday night? I was up there with you for a little bit.
Yep. Friday.
Every time I'm watching him, this is what I see. An absolute repeatable swing. He does not change his swing. He has a repeatable swing, and it's a beautiful swing to watch.
Oh, it's so smooth, and he can take the ball to all fields. He's very good in any situation, and I just think he's such a smart, smart baseball player. But the smoothness, it's not a violent swing. It's a calm swing. It's long through the zone. He can hit to all fields. He can hit with power if he needs to. But I think that consistency of his swing and the smoothness, as you said, it's just repeatable. He's athletic. He's strong. He's not the biggest guy, but he's really put together for a guy his size. He's the real deal. And to do it while catching, which we've talked about, is just so incredibly impressive. And I think the other thing, and this is all due respect to Josh Spiegel, Jay Harry, Johnny Piacentino, Cole Bartles, who had really good years, but you take him out of the lineup and I don't know where this team's at. And I don't know that you can say that about anyone else in the Big Ten with what his sole impact meant defensively at catcher and his impact in the lineup means to one individual team.
All right. Well, I'm asking this question with all due respect to the guys around him. Are you surprised he has not been pitched around more in the last 3-4 weeks?
Well, we're starting to see it a little bit, but I think Josh Spiegel and his ability to hit the ball out of the ballpark and his last 3-4 weeks has given Matt that protection in the lineup. And not only Josh, I would add Johnny Piacentino and then Billy Gerlach to that as well. I think because of the way they have finished, it's caused teams to recognize that, hey, maybe we do have to give in to him because these guys behind us are going to make us pay. And Matt's an excellent base runner, too, as a catcher. And he'll also be patient to not get himself out. So if you're going to pitch around him, he'll take the walk. He's not a hitter that is going to chase a hittable but bad pitch that he can't drive somewhere and get himself out by rolling one over to the right side of the infield, something like that, which is really good about his discipline and speaks to his what he means to like a team approach at the plate, too. And he's not afraid to pass the baton.
So let me ask you about the weather part of it, because that's going to be important as to how this plays out. Because, so what does it look like the next 2 days there? Is it spotty showers? Is it something that could be steady? What is it?
Well, right now it's steady rain all day today, steady rain continuing into the morning. The question is, how much of a window will it be tomorrow to play? And also, I think you're looking at how much rain, and this field should take plenty of rain. They're used to it here.
Yeah.
But how much time it would take them to get the field ready when it does stop raining. But right now it looks like we are in for a soaker all day today into tomorrow, and even a chance of showers continuing to Thursday. The good thing is the schedule for Friday is really light, so if they just had to push it back a day, you probably could squeeze the first 2 days in. Wednesday moves to Thursday moves to Friday.
Sure.
But then there wouldn't be that break day in there for the teams that are in the championship bracket, which I actually think would benefit Penn State because they're pitching depth.
Brian, thanks so much. Appreciate it. Enjoyed spending time with you on Friday night.
Oh, it was the best. It was the best. We got rave reviews.
Well, we did. Oh, really? So
yeah.
Both the listeners loved it.
Yeah, my mom and dad really enjoyed it.
I also got a note from Mario Andretti, who also, he says, I grew up near we live near the Trips, you know. Love the broadcast.
All right, have a good one.
All right, thanks, Brian.
See ya. Bye.
Brian Tripp in Omaha. The reason I brought up Mario Andretti? It has nothing to do with the Indy 500 or the suit. I was reading Dana O'Neill's book on the Big East today, and I was going through the Villanova chapter on Raleigh Massimino. And Jay Wright, of course, was an assistant at one point for Raleigh. And
he's working there, and for Rolly Massimino, it was all about family, practice, coming up with 5,000 defenses, coming up with 5,000 offenses, because he was going to make sure that nobody could, you know, come up with a way to either play Villanova or defend him or whatever, right? And when he had the get-togethers at his house, which happened to be often, you were expected to be there all night. Well, Jay, for example, had a had the scout for the game the next day, which I think was a big Monday game against Georgetown. So he, quote, left early because he had to watch more film. And, of course, this was film. This was not, you know, this is not today you can call up whatever plays you want. It's really kind of cool how you can do it. I love going through and doing that, where I can call up whatever I want, whenever I want it. It's really neat. Do I want to look at all the offensive plays? Do I want to look defense? Whatever. And he gets a message from Massimino that because he left the party early, he's fired. He's going in at 6:30 in the morning. He's wondering, okay, am I out of a job or not? And he's like, of course, Rolly just goes by and probably forgot he even said anything. Right? But the reason I brought up Mario Andretti is that it was not uncommon for Rolly to have Tommy Lasorda at the dinner, Mario Andretti at the dinner, or behind the bench, or Perry Como. I mean, it really, you know, it was quite the La Familia. All right. Matt has the same situation. Aaron Judge comes over. They talk about his contract, how he's, you know, he's got another twinge, you know, things like that.
Yeah, something like that.
$300 million a year. $300 million contract. Every day goes by, it's getting more expensive.
Keeps hitting home runs like that and keeps leading the league in that category, yeah.
Absolutely. And look how it's paid off. They've lost 5 of 6. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Well, I hope the Yankees can get back on track. It'd be really great if they could play a team like, say, the Orioles. I think that would help. Oh, I'm sorry. They are playing the Orioles?
Correct.
Oh, sorry. I feel better now. He's right, though, about the Phillies bullpen. It's just, but again, it's the story for everybody out there. I don't care who you are, whether it's the Nationals, the year the Nationals win the World Series in 2019, they had a bullpen. You got to hit it right with these guys. And it's not easy to hit it right. You've got to hit it where it's, where it's, you know, a guy or two has either a career year or the second best year of their career. These are the teams that win along the way. That's why, for example, I talked about how awful it was that the Yankees lost Chad Green. Chad Green's established himself as a good, not great, but a good relief pitcher who can eat up innings, get some outs. And that's a big blow for the Yankees to lose a guy like that. But you have to have guys have career years, not in the closer role, but in other roles. I'll give you a great example. I think he's with the White Sox now, Joe Kelly. When the Red Sox won in 2018, Joe Kelly, who had really struggled in St. Louis, struggled in Boston, could throw 100 anytime he wanted, in 2018 put it all together and had a great year, and he was a big reason why they won. Then he went to the Dodgers in 19 and 20, and whatever, 21, and now he's with, you know, he's kept his career alive, but he's not the same, and he wasn't the same before 18 either. You just got to hit it right with these guys. All right, Neil Kulong, next half hour is going to be a fascinating conversation. We are not going to bring up Mr. Four-Inning Giancarlo Stanton. He only hits homers in the first four innings.